We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. It's 10 minutes after 5. Jordana here. Thank you for spending some of your day with me. The sun is shining on downtown Minneapolis now, and I hope you are on your way home from work or maybe on your way to the lake. That would be even better. My next guest believes there is an epidemic plaguing our country, in fact, our globe, a human rights crisis that must come to an end. In 2016 alone, more than 7,500 cases of human trafficking were reported. Since 2007, the National Human Trafficking Hotline has received 145,764 reports of trafficking in America. That is just in our country alone. The majority of these victims are women and children forced into acts like prostitution, child labor, and pornography. Well, tomorrow, the House will vote on three bipartisan bills to continue the efforts to crack down on human trafficking. Joining me now is Minnesota Congressman Eric Paulson, who has authored some of these bills. Eric, welcome back to the program.
Yeah, good to be with you. You really encapsulated the challenges we have, but also the opportunities, I think, to make progress on a very important issue.
It just astounds me that this happens. And some of these kids are, you know, plucked off the street. We hear stories about people being approached even at lakes here locally, Minnesota having a problem. How big of an issue is this for us here in Minnesota?
Well, you know, it is a big problem. I think at one time Minnesota was identified, or the Minneapolis area, I think, was identified. It was like number 17 in the country for just throughput for trafficking that was happening because of our transportation infrastructure. But look, these, as you mentioned, these are young girls, age 12, 13, 14, and this is not something happening in just the urban areas or in other countries. It's happening in the suburbs. It's happening in rural communities, and it's literally in every community around the country. The good news is this is very bipartisan. We're making progress. We've already passed 13 bills this year, new laws that are taking effect on wiping out the scourge of sex trafficking. Three more actually are going to be accelerated and will pass this evening. And so we are getting some things done in this space. And this is some of the most gratifying work I've been able to work on, because it's literally saving lives and making a difference. And you can see it in the eyes of these young girls and victims, and that's what they are, victims. When you meet and talk with them and the opportunity to get them back on their feet, make sure they're going to be productive and have the dignity and self-esteem that they deserve and should have.
I believe last time we spoke about this topic a few months back, the bill was specifically on sharing data, that the state organizations can share data with the federal government, and they can also share state to state. So if one young woman is missing in one state, they can share that data with a different state to help cut down and find these missing people. What are the bills focusing on that are going to a vote tomorrow?
Yeah, so the vote, the bills actually that are moving through, and I think we will get them done this evening. The first bill actually is just essentially directing the Department of Labor to implement a new training program for its employees to help detect and assist law enforcement in preventing trafficking. And this is training that's going to be going on, essentially helping determine current trends, best practices for personnel, providing some clear courses of action for referring potential cases to the Justice Department, other authorities. So, I mean, that's a pretty common sense approach, I think, that's going to be taken. The other bill, the second bill that's going to be taken up, will allow communities now to apply for their Department of Justice grant programs with law enforcement to actually compete for funds that develop and carry out programs that specifically target and fight sex trafficking for the demand side. We're talking about the Johns, the people that are purchasing these young girls on websites like Packpage.com. And then the third bill is just a reauthorization of the Frederick Douglass Trafficking Victims Prevention Act, which is like $130 million that's intended to help stop human trafficking, not only here in America, but around the world, by making sure that the State Department will be allowed to offer bounties for the arrest and conviction of international human traffickers. and also making sure that we're strengthening our programs. So on an annual basis, when we do rankings of countries and where they are in terms of their tiers of trafficking, we're removing the possibility of any manipulation for diplomatic or economic or political considerations, which is important. And just yesterday in Minnesota, we had two men, I think they were charged in Hennepin County for bringing women from China to Edina and Richfield as a part of a sex trafficking operation.
Right. So people shouldn't think that it doesn't happen here, because we all know that it does. In fact, Congressman Paulson, I believe we're having a new campaign for rest stops in Minnesota, amping up for the Super Bowl in 2018, because that's a big time where women are trafficked in and out for the Super Bowl. And I do believe here locally, and I know you probably don't have expertise on this, but there's going to be a campaign in all the rest stops, you know, with signs up: if you're in danger, this is where to call, or if you see something unusual, this might be happening. So sort of like a tips on how to identify some traffickers.
Yeah, and you know, this awareness campaign, as you mentioned, ahead of next year's Super Bowl, actually was launched at the state fair last year with some of our local leaders, and I've been working with them. It's not even targeted only towards people that might want to see something, say something, but also for some of these victims at the rest stops that, you know, they may get a load of encouragement. Hey, here's a phone number I can call to get some help, to get out of the situation that I'm trapped in or I feel threatened in, that they know there's a safe house to go to where they might have a bed, they might get some support and get back on their feet.
Okay. Well, of course, this is a bipartisan issue because nobody wants this happening to these girls. But Eric, while I have you on the phone, I have to talk to you about some partisan politics as well.
Oh, of course.
The big story of the week, of course, is Donald Trump Jr. and this mess he seems to have gotten himself into by taking this meeting. I'd like your reaction to it, and also to the fact that, you know, a lot of people in the Republican Party are saying, you know, this is no big deal. The Clinton campaign did it too. I'd like your response to if it's a big deal, and what would you have told Don Jr.?
You know, I mean, this is sort of my views. I think the implications of the email thread that have been come out, you know, as a part of this revelation are disturbing. I think it undermines the public trust and the process that have gone forward. And as I said before, I think the American people deserve answers, and it's very important that we just get to the bottom of everything that's gone on and has taken place. It's another reason why I early on was one of very few Republicans to call for an independent investigation earlier this year, and I was really pleased to see the FBI director, former FBI director Mueller, chosen to lead that investigation. And I think we're just going to learn more, and as we're seeing in the news right now, we may see more come out, but every one of these instances is going to be thoroughly reviewed, thoroughly investigated by both the independent investigator now as well as the jurisdiction of both the Senate and the House investigations that are going on. And that's just a really important step to helping restore public trust. I think that's really critical.
Would you have taken the meeting had you gotten an email like that, especially if you were in a campaign cycle?
I can't imagine so. But, you know, it's kind of hard to explain or even hard to understand exactly what might have really transpired or taken place. But it's another reason why I think we have to get to the bottom of it. And another reason why, you know, just restoring the public trust as a part of the independent investigation is really critical and will make a big difference, I think, for everybody.
John Rash and Lori Sturtevant over at the Star Tribune, the editorial writer, seem to feel that we're going to see a bill, maybe possibly two bills, on health care tomorrow for you to review and for the Senate to review. Do you have any idea what is going to be in these bills?
You know, the Senate's going through their process a little bit like the House did. And, you know, some of this obviously gets controversial because health care is very personal. But I think it is important to point out that it is critical to provide relief for those that are seeing skyrocketing costs and premiums going up. You know, the Minnesota companies right now are filing their rates with the Department of Commerce for what the rates are going to be this fall. And, you know, I talked to some of our CEOs at our health companies in Minnesota. They say they're going to have huge double-digit increases unless something is done again. So I think what the Senate bill may reveal, or the scores that will come out, they're probably looking at doing expansions of HSA, allowing maybe HSAs to be used, healthcare savings accounts, so you can use that money to help pay your premium costs, for instance. I think that's one thing that may be included in the Senate bill that I heard. I also think they're going to put more resources to target the opioid epidemic that has been a real challenge in a lot of states, including in Minnesota, by the way. So we may see some, inclusions of those provisions in particular.
I've often heard the opioid epidemic and even HSAs are white people's issues. And I'm sorry if that sounds crass, but, you know, you have to have money to have an HSA and you have to have a good job to be offered an HSA and the opioid addiction as well. I think, of course, you know, funding should be increased for opioid addiction. It's a horrible addiction. Talk to me a little bit about the Medicaid caps. That is the biggest concern here in Minnesota. Would you vote for a bill that capped our Medicaid?
Well, I'll point out this, is that even the bill that passed in the House does put restrictions on Medicaid. It gives more flexibility to states for what they can apply to use their Medicaid dollars for, but it does not cut Medicaid funding. I mean, sometimes the Washington speak is when you're cutting something, you're actually, you know, slowing, you're actually cutting, you know, the level of projected increase. So we're not reducing funding. It's just slowing the rate of growth. And by the way, the entire Minnesota delegation got together with the governor, who's out in Minnesota today, and we've all joined together asking for a waiver that the governor is seeking now with the federal government so that we can have a special 1332 waiver to allow the reinsurance program that the state legislature passed with the governor's support to go forward. That will help lower premiums, and we're all on board to help there. So we are working together on some of these initiatives, and I'm working to help the governor because of my relationship with Secretary Price in that effort.
Eric, we're almost out of time. What else do you want to say?
Well, I think one thing to point out is that in this time of challenging, you mentioned some partisanship that's going on, I'm just looking forward to the next big issue that I think is really important to getting our economy growing again, and that's tax reform. And that's really tough. That's challenging because when you talk about making changes, you know, and cutting out loopholes that have benefited certain people or industries or stakeholders, you know, those are the folks that line up against it. But it is really important, I think, to get these people that are working part-time, that want to work full-time, back employed, help small businesses, and have permanency in our tax code that we can really, you know, grow jobs in our economy and boost paychecks is probably the most important thing, I think, right now people are looking for.
And these were also the two issues that we're talking about were two of the biggest issues for the campaign last year. It was repeal and replace Obamacare, and then it was tax cuts. And Eric, I'll just ask you, sneak in one more question. If these don't get done in an efficient manner, and knowing what you know now about what's going on with the Trump administration, how do you think those three issues, what's going on with the administration and lowering taxes and the mess with health care, how do you think this will affect your election cycle coming up in 2018?
Well, I think in general, I think the public is expecting all of us. And look, Republicans have the Senate and the House and now the presidency. And the president, of course, has just been going in different directions on different issues, you know, with tweeting, et cetera. But I think it's important to get some wins on the board. And I think that can be done with health care for actually addressing premium increases. That absolutely can, and I think will be done in the area of tax reform and building confidence in the employers that want to invest in their people and in new capital equipment. And that's critical. And I do think the president is sincere because of his business background of really dedicating time and energy. And I think he's going to start making some tours from what we've heard at small businesses. Maybe he'll come to Minnesota, I don't know, about the importance of doing that. So I'm optimistic we're going to learn some lessons from healthcare, be more unified in getting that done without the contentiousness.
Congressman Eric Paulson will be watching these three bills that are set to go to the floor tomorrow. And thank you so much for your time tonight. I appreciate it.
Okay, great to be with you.
It's 5:23. We'll be right back after the break. It's 27 minutes after 5, and it looks like it is becoming a glorious late afternoon, just in time for you to drive home from work and enjoy some of that summer sunshine as you crack open a soda or a beer or have a glass of lemonade out on the deck. I hope you're enjoying this beautiful night. Very appropriate, Miss Susan Blanche. Ask Eric Paulson why he bailed on the Edina Parade on the 4th. You know, guys, I can't ask him everything, and I appreciate this onslaught on Twitter that you're offering. Ask him about this. But you know what? We talked human trafficking. We talked John Don Jr. We talked about health care. We talked about how his election, I tried to talk about how his election will be affected by President Trump. Didn't really get that far on that question. But I know many of you have a beef with Eric Paulson. Maybe he's not as available to you as maybe he is to me. But I'm just, I'll do the best I can with your questions. That's what I had today. When we get back, we got the weird news. Like, life isn't weird enough. Like, the stories that we're covering at the top and bottom of the hour aren't weird enough. We're going one further. We are going one further. We are going to do the weird news. So I will call for a judge. Thank God Susan Blanche is here, because that word just totally escaped me. What do I need? An anchor? A reporter? No, I need a judge. That is absolutely what I need. You heard that story about the human rescue chain that happened in Florida. Big riptide happening out there. And people on the shore decided they were going to help. Complete good Samaritans. A couple of kids got stuck out there. A grown-up was going by with her boogie board. She went to stop the kids. Then she realized she was too far out. Her wife came by to help them also. They realized they were then stuck. Okay, there was a group of about 9 swimmers that became stuck off the coast of Panama City Beach. And when I mean stuck, I mean drowning. They were out in the riptide. It's very strong out there. And they were going down. One of the women still had enough power in her to yell. So she's yelling that my wife is out there. There's 2 young boys out there. The lifeguards had left the beach for the day. And now they had these 9 people out there. People on the shore realized what was happening. And they were brave and kind and good and made a human chain from the shoreline. Thank goodness there were enough people all the way out to the people, and then rescued him. The rescue was led by a man named Derek, and here is his account.
Let's try to get as many people as we can to grab hands, grab wrists. We just kept yelling at the beach, people, we need help. It was remarkable. Pretty amazing sight. As we were swimming back with the members of the family, it was just really humbling to know that all different races and genders and ethnic groups were willing to sacrifice their life, even if it wasn't swimming all the way out, to be a part of something to save a life. That's pretty amazing. I know that I was very humbled by it.
And these are the heroes that were humbled by the act. It's incredible video. Please watch it. It's on our Facebook site. And that is your positively viral story of the day, because we always want to leave you smiling here. So I hope you're feeling good about that one. And now you're going to laugh about the weird news when we get back.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We hope you do. Winnie is in Andover. She is on the phone, and she is our weird news judge. Good afternoon, Winnie.
Hi.
Winnie, are you driving home?
Yes, I am.
Where do you work, Winnie?
I work for Honeywell.
For Honeywell. Oh, good. And you're on your way home. Are you on your way home to have a glass of lemonade or a nice glass of wine on the patio or the deck?
Oh, something. Something.
I hope you're not in traffic. Is she in traffic, Jerry?
I don't know if she's in traffic.
What is the traffic her guy?
I well, report she's driving not that from, psychic.
She's driving from Honeywell to Andover. Is she in traffic? Hey, Winnie, you in traffic?
Just a little bit.
Just a little. You're off the hook.
So you're heading out on 394 or are you on 212?
No, actually, I'm on 169.
See how much I know?
But that 169 is a nightmare, Winnie. It's a nightmare, right?
Going, you know.
It's pretty bad out there. All right, Winnie, you will have to choose from Dan Cook, from Jerry Peterson, and we have Chris Schaefer over at TV. And you're not playing. Oh, and Susan Blanche is playing as well. Well, then, you know what? Ladies first. Miss Susan Blanche, what is your headline, my love?
You're checking that, sir? That'll be
$25. There you go. All right, Mr. Dan Cook, what's up?
Any rebroadcast, retransmission, or other use of this picture without the express written consent of a monkey is prohibited.
Mr. Peterson.
She bugs me.
Chris Schaefer over TV. Hello, my friend.
Hello. My headline is, maybe they should call it the Jumbotron.
Oh,
boy.
Okay, that could go south very quickly. Okay, Miss Blanche, you're up.
A flyer decided to forego his luggage allowance for something he felt was far more important. When he checked in for a domestic flight in Melbourne, he also decided to check in a can of beer. The can of Emu Export Lager was tagged with a barcode and sent to the cargo hold for passenger Dean Stinson. And amazingly, despite being so small, the can arrived in Perth after an hour flight in perfect condition. Dean was then able to pick up the can from the conveyor belt as all the other travelers collected their suitcases. Airlines have a no liquids rule in the cabin, meaning passengers cannot take drinks or any other liquids on the plane in their hand luggage. And clearly, Dean thought the lager was worth it. It is not clear how much it cost for Dean to check in his beverage. My guess is $25.
So it's a beer. He put a beer.
One can of beer.
Lager. It's a lager, by the way.
Oh, not a lager.
So you're not a beer drinker. It's a lager.
She's a wine drinker anyway, what? Right?
But when he got it, it was all, you know, it was warm. It was probably skunked. But I guess he just did it for the thrill. All right, Ms. Blanche. Mr. Dan Cook, everyone, next up.
Jordana, a curious monkey with a toothy grin and a knack for pressing a camera button, is back in the spotlight as a federal appeals court weighs in Wednesday on whether an animal can hold a copyright to photo selfies.
Oh, come on.
Naruto is a free-living monkey who snapped the pictures with an unattended camera in Indonesia in 2011. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals said Naruto was accustomed to cameras and took the selfies when he saw himself in the reflection of the lens. The animal rights organization sought a court order in 2015, allowing it to administer all proceeds from the photos to benefit the monkey. British nature photographer David Slater, whose camera the monkey used, said the British copyright for the photos obtained by his company, Wildlife Personalities Limited, should be honored worldwide. If successful, it will be the first time that an animal is declared the owner of property instead of being declared a piece of property, PETA attorney Jeffrey Kerr said. Quote, when science and technology advance, the law adapts, said Kerr. There's nothing in the Copyright Act limiting ownership based on species, and PETA is asking for an interpretation of the act that acknowledges today's scientific consensus that monkeys can create an original work.
Oh, my God. That's insane. So little dude sees himself in a mirror, takes a picture of it.
Yeah.
And now he's supposed to get paid for that?
Instagram better pay him.
Okay. Really, PETA, you're over the edge. Over the edge.
Well, now, this opens the door for the elephants to do paintings. Because you've seen saying.
Next thing you know, the poop that they throw against the window is going to be considered art. Going to frame it.
It is already.
Yeah, I'll stop it now. All right, Jerry.
Didn't that just happen in Disneyland where a flock of geese flew over and...
Jerry, you're up. Jerry Peterson.
Thailand's scorpion queen who holds the Guinness World Book record for holding a scorpion in her mouth 3 minutes and 28 seconds, because I know you wanted to know, shocked onlookers in June as she let scorpions crawl all over her body and in and out of her mouth as part of a show at Pattaya, a city in the Gulf of Thailand.
Oh.
Kachana Kata also holds the record for cohabitating with 5,000 scorpions in a 12-meter square glass enclosure for 33 days.
Wait, she was naked?
I never said she was naked.
I mean,
I thought
they were
just
adding the Georgiana edge on that one.
Okay, I didn't mean to make it worse. Sorry.
Save it for Chris's story, Georgiana.
She did do a show naked, but it was at a different facility.
Oh, the scorpions are crawling all over her?
Yeah.
Does it say if she was stung, bitten?
It didn't say that.
That's horrifying.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Chris Schaefer, what's up, hon?
All right. Last Saturday's game in Los Angeles between the Dodgers and the Kansas City Royals was a wild one, and not just on the field.
Uh-oh.
Now, everybody loves the fun little things that appear on the Jumbotron between innings. This particular game, fans were exposed to something a little different. The camera was panning around, catching various Dodger fans, smiling, waving at the camera. And the crowd started cheering when a grandma in a blue shirt jumped up and she started dancing.
No. Oh, no.
So the camera stayed on her. She was waving her arms. She shook her hips. And then she lifted her shirt, showing fans her bra.
Oh, no.
The audience gasped, and the Jumbotron operator quickly switched over to a player on the field. Now, when asked after the game, none of the Dodger players recalled seeing it at the time, but they did hear about it. And since the Dodgers went on to beat the Royals 5-4, the players are now calling her the Rally Granny.
Well, I kind of love it.
There's video. If you go to the link, she dances, she shakes her hips, she grabs the shirt, and whoop.
It's a rally bra.
There you go.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, at least she was wearing a bra.
Yes.
There you go. At least she was wearing a bra.
And no scorpions.
Oh, Winnie, 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 you are going to have a tough choice today. We're going to do a round robin of all the headlines, and then you're going to have to choose, my friend, Ms. Blanche.
You're checking that, sir? That'll be $25.
Mr. Cook.
Any rebroadcast, retransmission, or other use of this picture without the express written consent of a monkey is prohibited.
Mr. Peterson.
She bugs me.
Mr. Schaefer.
Maybe they should call it the Jumbotron.
That's good. Huh. That's good. Well done.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Winnie, are you still with us, my dear?
I am still with you. Yes, I am.
All right. Well, you're going to have to weigh in and tell us why.
Well, I'll tell you, the scorpions is kind of creepy for me, but I kind of like the monkey with the photography thing.
There you go. There you go.
I think that's the weirdest one. Let's pay the monkey.
Well done, Winnie and Andover.
Somebody's got to buy the bananas, all right?
That's right. Well done. Well, PETA wins again. Winnie, we have absolutely nothing for you except our enduring and everlasting gratitude for your time today.
Well, thank you. It was fun.
Good. Come see us out at the fair, my friend.
All right. Take care.
Get home safely, Winnie. She's on 169, Jerry. It's kind of a nightmare over there.
Yeah, well, it can be. Yeah.
It certainly can be. All right, Winnie, thank you. Good job, everyone. Chris, Jerry, and Dan. Did you win last week again, Dan? Did he win or did you win, Jerry?
No, I won last week.
Okay, well, there you go. Trophy comes back to the studio.
Should have said she was naked. You would have won.
I might have.
There you go. A little sex gets
make
them
a good
every
point
time,
there.
Chris. That's right. Now that I'm not playing anymore, I might have to sneak in a story every now and then. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Hey, Chris, are you still on the line with us?
Here. Yep. Yep.
Any weather to talk about tonight?
No, you know what? So much quieter. Thank goodness. I know many people woke up between 2 and 3 with the wind and knocking things over. Mm-hmm. Much quieter. In fact, if you're sick of the humidity, you get a break for like a day tomorrow. Okay. 75, less humid, but by Saturday, up around 90 and very humid again. So find a friend with a pool.
Yeah, or some air conditioning. Frank told me the air was out in his house.
Oh, what a nightmare. Frank and Amelia are very crabby.
You know, I can only imagine.
I get it.
Wow. All right, Chris Schaefer, always good to talk with you. Thanks again, my friend.
Ya.
And if you still have your power knocked out from last night, more than 350 XL Energy employees are responding. Don't worry, they're there, okay? 9,000 customers were without service when this press release came out earlier this afternoon. But they say by 8 tonight, all of the service is expected to be restored. So if you're listening to us on your weather radio in the basement, by 8 o'clock tonight, all of your power should be restored if it isn't already. I believe this Gangnam Style song was the second most watched video of 2016. There was a Wiz Khalifa song that was the first one. Oh, this isn't Gangnam Style.
This is Meghan Trainor.
Oh, this is Meghan. Sounded like Gangnam Style.
Did they all have that same beat though?
I know, right? It's catchy. I'm doing a little dance over here. So we just finished the weird news, and someone texted me because who had the story about the Dan? Dan won with the story about the monkey that took a picture and it's art and he should get paid and yada 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 insanity. So someone texted me, hey, Jor, look up Painted by Metro, ex-racehorse paintings by the horse. So, of course, I did. I got a lot of free time here during the commercials. So I did. I do what you tell me to do. If you send me a text, it's likely I'll respond. If it's something nasty and rude, I'll just ignore you. But if it's not something nice or interesting, I will probably respond to you. And this is an amazing story. PaintedByMetro.com. Metro Meteor was a well-bred thoroughbred. Foaled in 2003, he specialized in sprints on the turf. He competed at the top tracks, the Belmont, Saratoga, earning just short of $300,000 in purses. Yet he was born with a knee condition. He needed surgery to remove bone chips twice. Each time he came back a winner, but eventually his knees did him in. He ended up losing cheap races at minor league tracks. So sad. At last, the track vet wouldn't allow Metro Meteor back and into the starting gate. Well, he couldn't stand at stud, and a lot of he said he couldn't stand at stud, and a lot of broken down thoroughbreds, like a lot of broken down thoroughbreds, Metro Meteor could have simply ended up as horse meat. Isn't that terrible? Right to the glue factory. That'd be awful. Yet, an artist who lives in Pennsylvania, Ron Krajewski, and his wife, Wendy, adopted the horse. Well, soon the horse's knees were so bad, little Metro's knees were so bad, they couldn't even ride him. They couldn't even mount him and ride him on the trails because his knees were too bad. And then a vet told him the knee thing was terminal and maybe the horse had 2 years. But the Krajewskis loved their horse. So Ron noticed that Metro liked to bob his head up and down. Well, Rob was a painter. He was an artist. So he decided to put a paintbrush in the horse's mouth where the bit used to be. He put a canvas in front of him and a brush in the horse's mouth. Oh, my gosh. So Metro began to paint. This is an actual true story. I'm telling you a real story. This is not the weird news anymore. It's not fake. He did huge, colorful brushstrokes. In fact, the horse was the best-selling artist in Gallery 30 in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. With half of the money from his paintings, the Krajewskis sought to find a way to save Metro. And they did. A young vet worked up an experimental treatment that reversed the bone growth in his knees. Yeah, the knees are still a problem, but he can at least walk the trails after all. And he now has more time to devote to his craft, to his art. The rest of the money that Metro makes painting, well, it goes to a racehorse adoption program that helps retire thoroughbreds find new homes and maybe even new careers. That's right. They've donated $45,000 for the sale of his works, and they are living happily ever after. Who knew? I was making a joke about the poop on the wall at the zoo, but maybe it is art. Throw a frame around that thing, get a laser to get that glass out. Maybe it's poop art. I guess you can sell anything. I'm looking at Metro's paintings. I mean, I guess they're good. You know, it looks very much like modern art. It's like what my kids bring home from their art class. It's just brushstrokes up and down sort of in a very random way. And because art is in the eye of the beholder, it's very lovely. So thank you to the texter who sent me paintings by Metro. That is some fun stuff. All right, I'm out. Thank you so much for spending some time with me today. I'll be back here at 3 o'clock tomorrow. And our positively viral story of the day is about a young woman who told her boss she was taking a mental health day. His response will surprise you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.